Blog Talk Radio.
The Megaphone is back in East Lansing after Saturday night's game. Michigan State defeats Notre Dame 36-28. With me today on the iSports MSU Red Theater Report is iSports Web contributor Ryan McCumber. He's going to talk to me about that game, give us his thoughts as he was in South Bend for the event. Ryan, how are you doing?
I can't be doing that much better, I guess. I mean, Saturday was pretty awesome. I mean, obviously, they gave MSU a scare late, but hey, I guess I'll take a win in South Bend any day.
Yeah, and okay, now we can talk about this when we had Sean on. Sean Steyer gave us our Notre Dame preview. He runs the WSBT Sunday Huddle here in South Bend. On 96.1 WSBT or on WSBTradio.com. You could stream it for that show. And sitting there with the ability to turn my microphone on and give them what really happened was the most tempting thing that I have ever, like, overpowered. Like, I demonstrated some serious willpower there because the narrative down here is Notre Dame gave the game away. That's the narrative down here in South Bend. Even Brian Kelly said to have two big special teams blunders, which they did have, the one where the punt was touched by one of the blockers. And then those were huge mistakes, and no doubt they did not help Notre Dame. But at the same time, is it really going to be an 8-point game? And I know you've got something to say about Dave Warner and company. Is it really going to be an 8-point game if the Spartans don't let off the gas?
No. I mean, come on. Michigan State went prevent when they went up 36-7, and they let the foot off the gas. And even D'Antonio said so. They were playing conservative because they thought they would win. They thought that was the best way to win, and they took the foot off the gas. I mean, it's absurd to think Notre Dame gave the game away. Michigan State dominated their defensive line. Their defensive line got plenty of pressure on Kaiser. The linebackers played outstanding. And like I said, MSU's offensive line mauled Notre Dame's defensive line. Tyler O'Connor didn't get touched. They ran for, 260 yards or some crazy number like that. Michigan State straight up dominated that game, especially for at least about 30 minutes in that game.
Yeah, and, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a prevent. I think it was their base quarters defense that they've always kind of run. It was a little softer. But I don't think that there was too much, like, occasionally you'll see a linebacker come in, but you didn't see that given the way Michigan State, you said, it had their way with Notre Dame's offensive line. And so I think when you look at, it wasn't necessarily a prevent, and so I think that's why D'Antonio was okay running it. But if you look at the past games in the series, like, letting your foot off the gas, it's a common theme, even if it wasn't under D'Antonio's reign, and you think he'd know that by now, given how much he talks about the tradition and how much he talks about rivalries in East Lansing.
Yeah, and I really thought that MSU executed their game plan to perfection throughout most of the game. Props to Mark D'Antonio. I mean, he did a great job. And a lot of people said before the game, and I think this is actually a great point, there's no way Mark D'Antonio loses to one team four times in a row. And you know what? I should have believed it because I thought that Notre Dame would win that game, a close one. But D'Antonio proved
it. Well, I mean, I would even argue there's no way D'Antonio loses 11-on-11 three times in a row.
This is true. I mean, yeah, and, you know, they just absolutely executed what they wanted to do. I thought Tyler O'Connor wasn't great, but he was good enough, and obviously we're going to get into that in a bit. But I thought MSU played pretty close to flawless game in the second and third quarters.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not trying to sit there and like bash the coaching staff for their decisions. I think going to their base instead of a full-on prevent was, I mean, I thought it was a good call. I kind of expected it a little bit, try to keep things underneath you. The problem is, was it after it didn't work? I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. Let's be clear here. Hindsight's always 20/20. But after the first couple times, you would have thought, after the first two scores, damn, including one, where Kaiser or whoever it was, Adams or Folston, whoever it was, did not convert on that fourth and one near the goal line. You think after the second score, things would have tightened up a little bit, and it still took a third score before Michigan State started pinning their ears back again.
Yeah, and, when they have the pedal to the metal, this team proved they can play with basically anybody in the Big Ten, or maybe outside Ohio State, who I think just looks unstoppable as of now. I mean, things can change, but yeah, I thought MSU, like I said, just executed what they wanted to do, and their linebackers were just outstanding on Saturday night, as has been expected.
Yeah, that linebacker group might be the best overall group in college football. Not just the best linebacker group, it might be the best overall group. Obviously, you know, Alabama's always going to be up there for any position group, but when this team fully gets that Davis back, I know we saw him a little bit Saturday night. When Ed Davis comes back and he can contribute as a pass rusher, which, again, Michigan State completely dominated Notre Dame, and we'll talk about the line in a second as well. I think that it's going to be a pretty big help. But to go to your point where you said they can compete with anybody, even Ohio State, I don't necessarily know if I agree with that, because here's my thought on the game. Terrible. I don't think that it was one of those games where, like, hey, guess what? It was 12 versus 18. It was supposed to be an 8-point game. No, I think Notre Dame is legitimately bad. They can't tackle. Their secondary's terrible. Their defensive line is awful because Michigan State's offensive line is still, the rotation is still kind of up in the air. And I'm not trying to discredit Michigan State, because Notre Dame has a lot of talent on offense, as they've scored a ton of points so far this season. But I want you to go back to that first game against Texas. And part of it may have been due to the fact that Malik Zaire was kind of competing for a little bit of playing time. 31-14. Michigan State with, let's see, in 1 second here to bring it up. Michigan State, 3:45 left in the third quarter, 36-7. Is Notre Dame's offense just padding stats? Because I don't know if even Kaiser's that spectacular. All of their points, with the exception of a Nevada team, which is terrible since Colin Kaepernick left, all of their points has come when Notre Dame's been down. Yeah, they've made the games interesting. They made Texas really interesting. But even Kaiser, he's completing 71% of his passes. Against Michigan State, he completed 54. Like, Notre Dame is not a good football team. Their offense is questionable still in my mind, because all of their points have come when the other team lets their foot off the gas. And I don't know if they're in a good game with a top 25 team like a Michigan State or whoever else is along the line. Let's say Stanford, they're hanging around. They're close with Stanford. They're within the touchdown, Stanford, in the third quarter. I don't know if Stanford doesn't just completely run away with that game at the end.
I mean, you have a point, but I should have said, I think that MSU, since But the way that they played for 30 minutes, that's what makes me think they can compete with anybody. I don't know about Ohio State. You know, the way they just dominated for 30 minutes, I do agree with you. I think Notre Dame's maybe an 8-4 or 9-3 team, which is not that good. But, I mean, they're going to South Bend like that, dominate with...
Well, let's clear up 9-3.
With so much turnover.
Let's clear up 9-3 not being that good. It's not that good when you get 5 games against ACC competition.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. Their schedule is that tough, and the ACC is not very good this year. And but to go into hostile territory and dominate in prime time for 30 minutes and just take almost a 30-point lead is pretty impressive when you consider all the turnover that they had from last year. You got a brand-new quarterback. You've got ton of turnover on both lines. The defensive line was especially a worry with everybody that left. I thought that we're going to get to Donnie Corley in a bit. I thought that he played great. I thought that the wide receivers looked pretty good. But like you said, Notre Dame secondary is awful. But I just find that impressive with that much turnover, you're going to South Bend and dominate a game like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at short quarterback resumes through history, and you grab quarterback's first 3 starts, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are, but I doubt they're pretty slim that you will have a road win in Columbus and a road win in South Bend. So.
Yeah, and, you know, going to O'Connor, I thought that he didn't play great. He definitely didn't play bad. He played well enough. Obviously, Donnie Corley bailed him out on that touchdown pass, but I thought he played well enough, and he's only.
And that's what Michigan State needs
from
him.
Which is a good thing. Yeah.
And that's what Michigan State needs. They don't need Connor Cook. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to have, but they don't need Connor Cook, especially with the way the defense stopped the spread, which I thought was the biggest part of the game. That was the one thing. Like I said, Notre Dame has talented offensive players. I don't know if they can put it together in a game throughout all 60 minutes, 54 minutes if you're playing against Clemson. I don't know if they can put it all together. I don't know if they've got if they can do it against a good team who stays aggressive. But the talent is definitely there, and for Michigan State to go out and stop the spread, let's kind of transition, talk about the line, because it started up front.
Yeah, Malik McDowell absolutely dominated that entire game. And I thought that Demetrius Cooper had a big game as well. And, Raquan Williams was solid. Then they brought in Lyles and Clemens on some situations. So those guys are going to play both ways, which I like because then you can redshirt Josh King and Austin Robertson, hopefully. And I thought that the defensive line, especially when considering how thin we thought they were, I thought they played exceptional, especially against Notre Dame's offensive line, which was thought to be one of the best in the country coming into the season.
Yeah, and, I mean, you go back, we talked to Sean. I mean, we talked about the preseason expectations for Notre Dame on the offensive line. Yeah, there's a lot of turnover up there, but a lot of publications also had them as the best offensive line in football. I think for Michigan State to do what they did, yeah, the defensive line deserves a lot of credit. Raquan looked good. Jamal Lyles was in on a couple plays. Malik McDowell obviously dominated. It got to the point where, I mean, even my wife goes, "Tyler, you know he's leaving after this year." And I was like, "He said he's only going to leave if he's the top 3 pick." And she goes, "You watching the game?" Like, so I think that the way that the line played helped. But Bola was in on it. Pry was in on it. Dowell was in on it. Reschke, obviously, in on it. Like, those linebackers put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, put a lot of pressure on Adams in the backfield. And I think that the linebackers deserve a little bit of the credit as well. But, yeah, the defensive line absolutely played great against what's supposed to be, I think Ohio State is probably the best offensive line still. I think they've got the individual talent. I don't know if they're as deep as Notre Dame up front, but they've got the individual talent among the starters to maybe be better. They're definitely top five in the country. What do you think about Michigan State's offensive line? We kind of talked about Notre Dame's defensive line not being that good, but Michigan State's offensive, I mean, Notre Dame's defensive line doesn't even have a sack, but Michigan State's offensive line, they're still kind of trying to figure out a little bit of a rotation. And, I mean, they are still replacing three pros and two of them being All-Americans.
I think that LSU's offensive line deserves a lot of credit because a lot of people were worried about the run blocking coming out after the Furman game. They opened up holes that I could have ran through. It was that impressive. Darryl Holmes obviously had that 73-yard touchdown run. I thought L.J. Scott had a pretty good game. But I thought that they looked very good. Obviously, they didn't allow a sack. O'Connor didn't really get touched throughout the game. And I think part of that, yes, Notre Dame's defensive line is bad. It's not impressive at all. But you have to give these guys credit because that was one of the definite question marks coming into this year. Are there still questions there? Absolutely. I think there was a lot of questions answered, though, and things are better than we thought they would be this far into the season.
Yeah. Let's talk about another issue that Michigan State had entering the season. Well, not issue, but a question mark. And that's the secondary. About how they slowed down the spread. Hicks gave up one big play along the sideline where he got beat. Other than that, I thought he looked really good. A couple times he was laying off his man, but in a quarters type defense, you tend to go with the furthest guy. And so that opened up some 10, 15-yard things along the sideline that obviously a lot of people would have loved to have seen him make plays on. But if he's guarding the guy in the slot who's further downfield, that's going to end up happening. That's the risk you run with that defense. Talk about the secondary and what you saw, because ultimately I think we both walked away very disappointed with one player.
I thought Vyontae Copeland got torched the entire game, which was disappointing considering how big of expectations he came in with this year, which was probably unfair considering he's coming back off a significant injury, but he got torched the entire
considering
game.
The fact he's coming off of 1.5 games of playing college football.
Right, and people have probably got unfair expectations for him, obviously, but yeah, I thought he got torched. I thought, he just didn't play well at all. I thought that Tyson Smith was pretty good when he was in. And like you said, I thought Hicks was good enough. Monte Nicholson had a pretty good game, I thought. And I thought Cox was all right. But Vyontae Copeland, you got to get better, dude, because you got torched.
Yeah, Copeland had his struggles. Ultimately, stick with the receiver. I mean, that's your job, stick with the receiver. And there was times he wanted to go and make the play on Kaiser. I think that's a big one. But he got beat on a couple of options. He did seal off a couple and force Kaiser to hand the ball off, which is always good when you can get the ball out of his hand in option setting, considering the fact he's got four touchdowns. Backs combined for Notre Dame have two on the ground. And so I think Copeland kind of got better as the game went on, but yeah, he still had his issues. You talked about Tyson Smith, and I want to throw another name in there. Kari Willis, who has been playing nickelback for Michigan State throughout the first two games. Is there a chance that, A, Smith gets bumped? Because he has seen a lot of playing time. Josh Butler played a little bit against Notre Dame and looked good as well. Is there a chance either one of those guys start moving up the depth chart? Or is there a chance maybe Kari Willis, who was recruited as an athlete, is there a chance that he ends up moving over to corner?
I don't think he gets moved to corner. I think that he's going to play, like you said, he's going to play the nickelback spot. But I think they want to keep him at safety. because I thought that the one he played there last year, he was pretty solid. And I think that they want to ride out Vyonte Copeland as long as they can. I thought, I'm not worried about Darian Hicks anymore. I wasn't really worried about him before, but I think that Willis stays where he's at, and maybe Tyson Smith gets more PT. I thought that he was pretty impressive when he played, but I am going to ride out Copeland as long as I can.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see it. Ultimately, I think the next one game, because you look at Indiana and BYU, they like to throw the ball around a little bit. I think the next game, you're not really going to be able to get a, because Wisconsin has issues throwing the ball. In fact, they're going to a new quarterback this week, and we'll talk about that later in the week. I believe Seth Kinker is going to join us for our Wisconsin preview. And I don't know if you'll get a finished look at Copeland just because it is Wisconsin. I don't care if Corey Clement plays or not. They're going to run the ball. So I don't know if that's going to be the best eye test for Michigan State as to whether or not you do start seeing Tyson Smith a little bit more in Copeland's spot, or maybe even Josh Butler. We talked about the linebackers, and I want to talk about this really quick because we have 10 touchdowns. We talked about it last week, how Reschke, I told you, I thought Reschke deserves to start because I didn't think Dowell played that good against Furman. The almost game of the season, I think it's safe to say that Reschke is going to hold that starting job over Dowell.
Yep. That's definitely safe to play. I think that he was – I was very impressed with Reschke. Think about it, he's still got a cast on his hand. And he was still able to knock that ball free from Sanders on that play where they got about 20 yards and knocked the ball free and they made that interception. Reschke was outstanding, and I expect him to have a monster year. He's a guy who's finally starting to come into his own and live up to what people thought he would be as a recruit, which is great news. I mean, this linebacking core, like we've said, is definitely one of the best in the country. Especially when you get Ed Davis back full speed. And I thought Ed Davis was all right. He came in on a lot of third down rush of passer situations like I thought he would. And he did that a lot in 2013. And I thought that he looked all right, too.
Yeah, he looked all right. I mean, obviously, he's still just a shell of his former self to this point. But it should start coming back to him. Because with injuries like that, you always wonder, are you going to come back like the way Dennis Finley did? Because Dennis Finley, he's been at 100% since about, what, April? And
yeah,
he's not in the playing rotation just because he's not as mentally, technically sound as he used to be because he's worried about that leg. And so you have to want – so I think, unlike with Copeland, I think you'll get an opportunity to see Ed Davis at his finest against Wisconsin. And if he plays a little bit more than what he played against Notre Dame, I think we'll see whether or not Ed Davis truly is. We've got about 5.5 minutes left. I know we still got two more things that we really want to touch on before we name our players of the game. And let's start with Tyler O'Connor. Go ahead, man. You said Notre Dame secondary isn't that good. Is it time
Notre Dame secondary
where – Is the quarterback battle completely over, even though Terry played?
Yeah. It's done. It's been done for a while. I mean, but yeah, Notre Dame secondary shredded cheese, but at the same time, I thought that TOC did what he had to do. And, I think if he keeps on improving, this offense has a very high ceiling. I think he's going to get better. Obviously, Donnie Corley bailed him out on that amazing touchdown catch that he had. But I thought that he played well, and he took advantage of – obviously took advantage of Notre Dame's bad secondary, but at the same time, I thought he played well enough. I didn't think he was great. I didn't think that he was awful.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of want to justify my statement as to the quarterback battle because someone did ask D'Antonio – earlier last week if they would bring Terry in, and he said he'll do what he has to do. And I think that O'Connor, with Terry playing a couple reps, especially that one late in the game that neither you or I really agree on him going in there for, because you know what's going to happen. And we kind of talked about how Michigan State likes to throw looks at opponents and then switch it up for bigger games like Michigan, like Ohio State. We talked about what they used to do with the two fullbacks directly in front of the running back, and they ran. I sat in U of M student section 1 year, and they were like, all they do is run out of this. Play action pass to Josh Rouse in the end zone. So I think that ultimately what you're building for is you're building for that look where you think, hey, Terry's getting this, he's running to the right. Maybe you end up reversing to Corley or Shelton. Maybe you end up heaving it down the field to either one of those guys or Medeiros. And so I think that that's what they're looking for. But O'Connor, yeah, his stats are kind of, well, we used this word when we talked about Notre Dame, padded a little bit because Corley did bail him out on that catch, which I told you kind of reminded me of, and don't hate me for this, Spartan fans, Braylon Edwards, the way he just reached over the face mask, pulled it right out of the guy's hands, and then he turned around and he dropped a couple easy ones throughout the course of the game. So I think that he got bailed out there. The jet sweeps out of the shotgun were counted as pass plays to R.J. Shelton, even though they technically are runs. But with that helmet, for all of the hatred, not necessarily the hatred, but for all of the bashing that O'Connor took after the Furman game, he has the sixth best quarterback rating in the country, just behind J.T. Barrett.
Yeah, if he can manage a game, that's all they really want from him. Maybe a little bit more would be nice, but if he can manage a game, this team can win a lot of games.
Yeah, and like we said, with that defense, that's all you really need from TOC. Player of the game, we've got about a minute and a half left. I think it's safe to say it's a two-horse race, maybe? Donnie Corley or John Reschke?
Yeah, I think you could throw maybe TOC in there, but I think it's mostly just down to Corley and Reschke.
What do you got?
I got Reschke. I thought that he dominated the game. Obviously, he was involved on two of the turnovers. And I thought that he was way better than I thought he'd be coming back from an injury. That linebacker group is outstanding, and Reschke should be one of the better linebackers, I think, in the conference this year.
Yeah, I've got Reschke as well. 8 tackles, 1 forced fumble, 1-handed. Practically interception. All of those plays very big. I think the forced fumble was huge too on CJ Sanders, who is Notre Dame's biggest playmaker. So I think we're going to have to make it unanimous and go with John Reschke. That does it for us today. Be sure to check us out later this week on the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, as Seth Kinker can join us as we preview this weekend's game against Wisconsin. For Ryan McCumber, I am Tyler Hayward. Like I said, this was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.